Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Who had a good morning this morning? Dads, did you get any gifts this morning? I got one of those great gifts, Jessen and Oaks. Oaks gave me, he opened the gift for me actually. Then he gave it to me and it was a book for him. So I really appreciated that. But I can't wait to read it to him and just love on him, because apparently it's all about him. But we're grateful for it. I want to tell some dad jokes. Is that all right? I've been working on this dad joke muscle because I'm stepping into the anointing of dad jokes. So these are really bad, okay? The first one, did you hear about the teenager who failed his driving test? He thought it was a crash course. Drummer, I want more. Josh, you need to hit it louder. I need as much help with these jokes as possible. My neighbor the other day gave me a new roof for free. It was on the house. Where do surfers learn to surf? Boarding school. Okay, a duck walks into a bar. Buys everyone around. Tells the bartender, put it on my bill. What do you call a wizard? Here's a good one. What do you call a wizard who's good with ceramics? Harry Pottery. So bad. Here's a good one. Did you hear about just two more? Just 12 more. I'm joking. Did you hear about the nurse who didn't want to become a doctor? She just didn't have the patience. What did one candle say to the other? Do you want to go out tonight? Come on, give me some love for the dad jokes, everybody. They're meant to be terrible. Don't judge me. They're meant to be bad. They're so bad, it's wonderful. I want to read you from the Bible right now. Segue from dad joke to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' So John consented." He said, "Fine." Verse 16, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of that water. And at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice," everyone say voice. "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased.'" So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us on this Father's Day in 2023. Have your way in our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. They all said one more time, amen. Amen. Can you thank Song in the band? Thank you guys. Beautiful job. In this passage of scripture, we actually see the Trinity all on deck. We see Jesus, the Son, getting baptized. We see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, I should say, like a dove. Keyword, like a dove. Holy Spirit is not a bird, but he descends on Jesus like a dove. And then the Father turns up. And how does the Father turn up in this moment? It is the voice of the Father who speaks over his Son. Jesus has humbled himself under the ministry of John the Baptist, which, by the way, Jesus is the God-man, but he comes and he humbles himself. He doesn't say, "Done with you, John." He comes in as a continuation of what God is doing in the earth. John the Baptist was preparing the way, and now the way has turned up, and the way didn't get in the way. The way said, I'm coming with this, and he flowed with it, and he humbled himself under what God was doing in that moment. Jesus came under the authority of his Father. Jesus is as much God as God the Father, but he humbled himself and he came under his Father. Came under the authority of his Father. And when you look at Jesus' life, there was a lot of voices against him. There was a lot of people that spoke and labeled and disputed and argued about who he was. There was a lot of people who spoke ruthlessly against him, put him on a cross. There were many voices. But before Jesus ever began his ministry, there was the voice of his Father. And the voice of the Father is very significant because I do believe that we do live in an age where fathers are trying to be silenced. I do think there is a work against men to be silenced and a work against fathers to be silenced. I think there is a concern about authority, so much so that authority is often deemed as wrong. And I'm not talking about toxic masculinity. That's out there. I'm talking about healthy authority. I'm talking about healthy men, healthy fathers who are doing and stepping in to who God has called them to be by design, everybody. It was God's design to have fathers. And whether we've had a bad experience does not mean we should throw out God-given authority. God-given authority is designed not to be a ceiling, but a covering. And you can get the two mixed up pretty easily. It is, authority is over. It does come over. Unhealthy authority will come over and it will become a ceiling over people. Controlling, pushing down, stopping people from flourishing. But godly authority comes as a covering. It's still over. It's still over. But its design is to cause the children that come under that authority, the people that come under that authority to thrive and to flourish and to grow and to be covered and protected. This is godly authority. And we ought not to buy into the narrative that all authority is bad, that all men are bad. No. God has created men with a call that is distinct and a call on fathers that is important. And I want you to know, and I know you know this, but we are going to celebrate fathers. We're going to celebrate spiritual fathers. You might not have biological children, but I thank God for the spiritual fathers that are in our church. And one of them happened to have flown in from America just 2 days ago. And I'm so thankful for the voice of Pastor Phil over my life. I'm thankful for my dad's voice. Pastor Phil's voice in my life, he has always been my greatest encourager, my biggest fan, always cheering me on. And I'm so thankful, Pastor Phil, for your voice over my life. And what it has created is a covering, not a ceiling. It's actually caused me to grow, to flourish, to be who God has called me to be. And so to every spiritual father, we're celebrating you today as well. Come on, let's give it up. And we need you. 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 Don't be quiet. Now's not the time to disappear into the shadows, to disappear into the back row. We need you front and center, spiritual dads. We need your wisdom. We need your voice. Don't be passive. Don't be quiet. Be loud. Be strong. Let us hear you. We want to hear you. And the world might say, be quiet, but in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, we celebrate you and we say, be loud, be loud. Let your voice overwhelm all the other voices that are out there. We got children and young people and people coming to our church who will never have known a father, but they still can have a representation of godly fatherhood in the local church. And that's what we want. And so Jesus, he came under the covering of the voice of his Father. And it wasn't a one-time thing. We actually read later on in Scripture, in Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's with the boys. They see Abraham, they see Moses, they see the old boys, and they are there. And right there before all the crew says this, he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them and a voice, everyone say voice, from the cloud said. He didn't think it. God didn't think this over him. He said it over him. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the thing to note here is that Jesus, under the voice of the Father, Jesus didn't suddenly become the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. But under the voice of the Father, it was confirmed. There is confirmation that comes to a soul and to an identity through the voice of a father. And Jesus came under that voice and it confirmed afresh to him and it was confirmed to those that heard. And sometimes we think, you know, like I said it once. I told him that I'm proud of him once. I mean, that would be like Jess and I, if I said to Jess, Jess said to me, hey, you never tell me that you love me. You don't tell me enough that you love me. And I said, well, babe, on the day we got married, I told you, I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. If it's important, it's worth repeating, everybody. If it matters, it's worth saying again. If it's really life-changing, it should be in the vocal diet of every father. The voice that says, this is my son, whom I love, who I'm well pleased. And Jesus came under this. He came under the acceptance. This is my son, mine. God took ownership of Jesus. He didn't say he's anybody else. He said he's mine. He belongs to me. And Jesus had acceptance before he had an assignment. Before he stepped in to his assignment, he had God's acceptance. This is my son. This is my son. Jesus knew his Father intimately. He knew his Heavenly Father on an intimate level, a level of belonging that caused Jesus to never need to appease anybody else to fill a void of acceptance. He had no void of acceptance. Therefore, he had no fear of man. Therefore, Jesus was bold. Everybody, Jesus was bold. Look at the life of Jesus. He was bold to the Pharisees. He was bold to the blind person. He said, you'll be healed in Jesus' name. He was bold everywhere he went. He was never trying to prove himself or appease people's opinion and therefore change himself to align to them. He knew his identity. He was secure because he was accepted by his Heavenly Father. And the amazing thing about acceptance is we are designed to have belonging. We are designed to live in a state of acceptance. It's a part of our human nature. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of where do you go? I was talking to a social worker in our church and he was helping a guy who just got out of prison and he was talking to this guy, but it so happened that this gentleman, he got out of prison and he straight away on the day of went and robbed a convenience store. And the social worker was saying, man, what happened? Why? And he looked at my friend and he said, hey, I just belong in prison, man. I have community there. This is why gangs and all sorts of groups will draw people in, because there is acceptance. But we ought not to be trying to do how they do. We have God's acceptance. We have the creator of the universe's acceptance for all those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus was accepted. Then it says, whom I love. So he had the acceptance of his Heavenly Father and he had the affirmation of his Heavenly Father. The Father affirms his love for Jesus. And here's the great thing about love. When you are founded and established in love, you don't live under fear any longer. I mean, you've seen a kid that knows that their dad loves them? They just got this almost arrogant confidence. Like me in my dad's pharmacy in Gordon. Lee's Chemist, it was called. On the corner of two streets, which I don't know the name to. Right now, I believe it is an ice cream store. But back in the day, it was Lee's Chemist. When I was in kindergarten, I would come in from school with my mum and I would walk into the pharmacy like I owned it. And I would take whatever drugs I wanted. Panadol, I don't even know what that means, but I want some. I would take, you know, the glucogen jelly beans, like the proper jelly beans, like the really, really good jelly beans. I would take them. I would push in the queue. I would do whatever. I'd get on the scales. I'd do it, but I didn't care. And if anybody had a problem with me, read the sign, bro. Lee's Chemist. Alex Lee, Graham Lee, talk to my dad. Confident, under the affirmation, under the love. Here's the beautiful thing that we read from Grandpa John in 1 John. This is not Gospel John, this is Grandpa John. This is older experience John. He writes this in 1 John 4:18. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives it out. Doesn't ask it to leave politely, drives it out. Says, get out of here. Because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Sometimes we would say the opposite of fear is faith, but I would actually say the opposite of fear is love. And in the environment of love, faith grows, confidence grows, boldness grows. And Jesus would always talk about how much God loved him. I mean, when was the last time you told somebody, man, God loves me so much? When was the last time you acted like that? You walked around like that? Flip. God loves me so much. I am amazing. God thinks I am incredible. I know you don't, but God does. You can act like that. You can be confident in what God says. When was the last time Jesus had this kind of confidence, everybody? He was not living crippled by fear, second-guessing himself, insecure. He was strong and safe in the love of God. And love doesn't mean no correction. Love doesn't mean, amen, no discipline. Psalm 23 says your rod, hang on, and your staff, what do? They comfort me. Correction actually brings safety. When we don't confront, it actually causes an unsafe environment. But when we do confront and we have a difficult conversation, actually what we provide for children and for people that come under our authority is safety. Your rod to correct. Who needs a bit of correction every now and then? You need it? Come on, join the club. Your rod, and rod for correction, staff for connection, proximity, both happening at the same time. This is the Good Shepherd. This is our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he hates. Oh, sorry, no. It doesn't say that. The one that he is disappointed in. Oh, sorry, no, it doesn't say that. It says the one he loves. Discipline is a sign of love, not the absence of it. And I've noticed with Oaks, I mean, he's 2 years old, everybody. So he's getting a personality. And I love it. And with that personality comes a will. And with that will comes no. And with that no comes his own ideas about how he wants to do things. And sometimes he throws tantrums, and it's a joy to watch. And so what I've actually discovered is when Jess and I, when we actually bring discipline and consequence and we say no, and we don't let him get away with it, we actually hold him to what we've said and we bring discipline, it's like he, after he's received it, it's like he sighs with relief. I feel him in my arms going, ah, safety, covering, comfort. This is love. But love still corrects. The Father allowed the Holy Spirit to lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tested. God loves those he chastises. So Jesus came under the acceptance, he came under the affirmation, and he came under the approval of God. With him, I am well pleased. Everyone say pleased. Well pleased. Which means God approved and was pleased by the character and the path Jesus was on. Now, something we need to talk about is the difference between acceptance and approval. Jesus already had the acceptance of his Father. But then we read about the approval of his Father. And the two are different. We need both, but the two are different. Acceptance says, whether you are making good decisions or poor decisions, you belong to me and I belong to you. So whether Oakland is making good decisions or poor decisions, I'm with him. I'm in it with him. Whether he's going good, whether the path and patterns of his life are in a direction that I would like, it doesn't matter. I'm with him. I'm with him through thick and thin. He belongs to me and I belong to him, and he's stuck with me forever. Pray for that boy. But approval is more to do that I am pleased with the decisions and the paths that he's taking. Because as his Father, I want him to choose paths that lead to life. I want him to choose paths and patterns and character that is going to bring him into the covering and the blessing and the word of God for his life. Spiritual fathers, grandfathers, and fathers are actually given to us from God to train us in the Lord's path. Proverbs, you know the book Proverbs? Come on, talk to me. You know the book Proverbs? Come on, online, talk to me. Proverbs. Do you know that the book of Proverbs is a father writing to a son about how to live, giving direction and teaching and wisdom? Says this in Proverbs 1:8-9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. God was pleased by who Jesus was. And this pleasure did not have to do with his acceptance, but it did have to do with the direction Jesus was on. And I've been urged, here's the thing, I've been urged to live a godly life by my Father. And you know how he urged me? He showed me. He showed me. I have watched him every single day of my life. As a young child, I watched him every single day read his Bible in a year devotional every single day. I mean, he had this Bible for about 30 years, so much so that there was no ink on the pages. I don't even know what he's reading anymore. And I think he's just, you know, praying and pretending. No, he was, this Bible, and I witnessed it. And it has taught me a path to life. So now when my dad sees me read my Bible, guess how he feels? So pleased. Does it make him love me more or less? No. But he is pleased to see the path my life is on. And this is what approval is about. We can accept and not approve at the same time. So Jesus had the acceptance, the affirmation, and the approval of God before his ministry began. And here's where I want to land. Band, I'd love you to join me. That sounds pretty and lovely for Jesus. Jesus has the perfect Heavenly Father. But what about all of us? Sometimes we have gaps in our life from our earthly fathers. Anybody got any gaps? So I just leave me up here, it's fine. You can have a great dad and still have gaps. I want to be everything I can to our son Oakland, but he'll still have gaps because I'm not perfect. I'm far from. We're all going to have gaps. But this is the good news of the gospel. And I want you to hear it today. Galatians 3, 26 to 29, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." Outside of Christ, we aren't children of God. We're God's creation, made in his image. But you only become a child of God when you come through Jesus Christ to God. We only become children of God when we put our lives in Christ. And when you're in Christ, your identity is no longer achieved, it is received. I heard Tim Keller say this, Presbyterian gospel preacher, awesome guy, passed away this year, went to be with Jesus. But he did say this great line. He said, "You know, of anything I think the world needs to know, and one of the biggest differences people need to know about Christianity is that every other religion you will have to earn and achieve your identity. But Christianity is the only faith where your identity is received, not achieved. You can't make it happen. It's given to you through Jesus Christ. So how do you become a child of God? Simple. By faith in Jesus Christ. Put your life in Jesus. Stop trying to earn the acceptance. Stop trying to earn the affirmation. Stop trying to earn the approval. And put your life in Christ. Because the good news of the gospel is that all those who are in Christ are heirs, co-heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, when you are in Christ, when you believe in him, when you make him your Lord, everything that Jesus has, we now come under as well. And this means we're no longer living for our identity. We're living from. It's our starting place. This will honestly change your whole life. You will stop doing crazy things to get people to like you. You will stop compromising your character to fit in when you understand my identity is already done. It's already been given. And I'm no longer living for it. I actually live from it. I start there. When you're living for identity, you do things to prove who you are. When you live from identity, you do things because of who you are. When you live for identity, you work to get people's acceptance. When you live from your identity in God, you work because you are accepted. When you live for identity, you're never content, never arrived, and you'll never really be good enough. But when you live from your identity in Jesus Christ as a child of God, you can rest at peace in who God says you are. You can be content, satisfied, no longer searching, no longer thirsty. You've met the well. and He fills your soul. Everybody, can you look to God? Close your eyes. This is the good news, that in Christ, that same acceptance, affirmation, approval belongs to you, which is one of the wildest, most amazing things that has ever happened to humanity. And how do you get there? You receive Jesus. You come under His name as your Lord and Savior. And so two things we're going to do. First thing, if you need to give your life to Christ, if you need to come back to God, now's your moment, right now. God loves you. He is calling you. He is calling you. Just come. Count of three, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to lead you in a prayer to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you're online, in the room, wherever you are, this moment is for you. If that's you, count of three, raise your hand and we want to pray with you and lead you in a prayer right now. If that's you, one, two, three. Just raise your hand. If that's you, if that's you, raise your hand. We're going to lead you in this prayer. If you're online, let us know. If you're in the room, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If that's you, if that's you, we're going to lead you in this prayer. Maybe you're coming back to God. Maybe coming back. You've been trying to find your identity. It's time to receive it as a child of God. Five more seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for everybody in this room. Anybody, Lord, that needs to say yes to You, we thank You, Lord, that You are at work in their heart. You're at work in their life. God, we pray for our friends and our families that don't know You, Father. And we thank You in Jesus' name. By faith, You are at work in their life. God, You are drawing them near. God, Your power is at work. Like El's friend, we thank You, Lord, You are on the move. Like my builder friend, I thank You, God, You're moving in his life. I thank You, God, You're moving in the lives of many across Sydney. In Jesus' name, if you believe it today, can you say amen? Last thing, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Band's going to sing over us in just a moment. But hey, if you've got gaps, reach out to God. Remind your soul that God's grace and God's love fills every gap. Maybe your gap is small. Maybe the gap is large. Maybe you've never known your Father. God can fill that gap. God can fill that gap. Come on, everybody, reach out, reach out. Use your hands, reach out. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, for where there's rejection, we thank You for fresh acceptance. Father, where there's been a lack of affirmation and fear lives on the inside of us, I thank You, Lord, for the love of God that casts out all fear right now, right now. Right now, setting people free. Right now, the love of God, the power of God. Oh, we thank You for it. Father, I thank You for Your approval, Your pleasure. You approve of Your children as they follow You, as they walk in Your way. And Lord, we declare afresh that we trust in God. We trust in You afresh, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this one more time.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.